Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Wow, to be a fly on the wall in the meeting tomorrow with President Trump and Mamdani.
It speaks volumes that tomorrow we have a communist coming to the White House, because that's who the Democrat Party elected as the mayor of the largest city in the country. I think it's very telling, but I also think it speaks to the fact that President Trump is willing to meet with anyone and talk to anyone and to try to do what's right on behalf of the American people, whether they live in blue states or red states or blue cities in a city that's becoming much more left than I think this president ever anticipated in his many years of living in New York himself.
So I was listening to CNN last night or this morning. I keep popping around, and they can't help themselves. They have to say that President Trump has inaccurately called a communist when he's a Democrat socialist. Uh-huh. Scott Jennings on the visit tomorrow. I think he raises a good point.
Well, I'm glad Mayor-elect Mamdani is going, because he's never had a job before. So Trump is going to have an opportunity now to explain to him how the world works. Number one, you're not going to be arresting Prime Minister Netanyahu when he comes to New York City. So you can put that out of your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, because he's never had a job before.
Number two, you need to cooperate with federal law enforcement and federal immigration when we come into the city to try to enforce existing federal immigration law. So you need to put that out of your mind as well. I hope the president explains to him how the world works. We have federal laws and we have international diplomacy, and those things are handled by the president, not the mayor of New York City.
I got to tell you, I don't see how that whole meeting goes well for either one of them tomorrow. But let's get some hot takes this afternoon Dwayne Patterson, our friend from hotair.com. He hosts the Dwayne's World podcast. Good afternoon. You got to get your high Sue in early because she's waiting to leave the studio.
Hi, Dwayne.
Greetings, comrade. How are you?
How are you, Dwayne?
I'm fine. This meeting tomorrow, it's got all the possibilities of turning into the first Oval Office trip this earlier this year from Vladimir Zelensky.
Oh yeah,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Got that whole vibe going for it. The cool thing about Comrade Mamdani is he has now made two or three different videos where he is saying, "Show me the money," right? I mean, it's full Jerry Maguire. Show me the money. You know, you got to shout it from the rooftops, because there's a lot of money that's required to make all this stuff happen, just to get me from the election to Gracie Mansion. I need at least, I've raised $1 million so far. I need at least that much more. You need to keep sending me money. The guy has turned into an Islamist ShamWow salesman.
Well, should we have expected anything else?
No, of course not. Of course not. It's just going to be interesting where Trump brings him in and says, "So tell me again what it is you think you're going to do," and he's gonna say what he's going to do, and Trump is just going to laugh at him and say, "No, that's not going to happen." Well, and what comes out of that, I have no idea. But if Trump just went through 43 days and didn't give $1.5 trillion as a ransom to Democrats, you think he's going to just bend the knee to Zohran Mamdani?
No, and I had one samba that I played earlier where there was a reporter that was pressing Mamdani. Okay, you want free buses and you need $700 million. Where are you going to get it from? Well, tax increases on corporate America and the rich. Well, Kathy Hochul's not going to go for that. Well, that doesn't matter. These are early in the discussion. So he's slick and he's going to try to sell some of these things. But the only scenario that I see even plausible for tomorrow is Mamdani wants to have Trump as, you know, as his foe, right? And he's made it very clear. He didn't talk about the people of New York the night he won the election. He talked about fighting Donald Trump. And Trump has the same ability to do, you know, things in the other direction on his side. So I'd like to think that maybe they'll talk about some solutions to problems, but I think both sides are ready to just sort of thump their chests and go after one another after this meeting.
Well, except that there was a clip from yesterday where Mamdani has gone from, yes, I'm here to fight Trump, I'm here to fight Trump, to yesterday when he talked about going to the White House, he says, I'm willing to work with him. I want to go there and see what we can agree with, what I can work with him on. So that doesn't sound very fighty to me. That doesn't sound like he's going to thump his chest. We'll see. I think he just wants the legitimacy. I think he wants the photo op. That's all he wants out of it.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Let's talk about this. You know, I played this ad that they were running, the Democrats, this message to the military.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
Okay, I could keep playing that, but basically what they say is, if you don't like the orders, don't do it, right? So Carolyn Leavitt on that particular topic today.
I would just add that if this were Republican members of Congress who were encouraging members of the military and members of our United States government to defy orders from the president and from the chain of command, this entire room would be up in arms. But instead, it is the other way around, and I think that's quite telling.
You and I have seen a lot of things in politics. That ad and those folks messaging Mark Kelly, what an embarrassment to do that with a guy that is somewhat respected out there in Arizona. Good Lord.
Look, there's lots to say about this. Number one, the ad itself. One of the people that were in that ad was Maggie Goodlander, right? And Maggie Goodlander, people don't know who she is. She calls herself a former intelligence officer. Do you know who she actually is married to, who she is?
I do not.
She's Jake Sullivan's wife.
Oh, there you go.
Joe Biden's national security advisor.
Right.
That doesn't get disclosed anywhere in this whole process, but she's one of the ringleaders of this whole don't follow the orders bit. Now, Maggie Goodlander was on CNN with our dear friend Jake Tapper this afternoon, and Jake Tapper, there's one question that anybody that goes to any J school that comes at this story, there's only one question to ask any one of these people that are inciting insurrection in this video. And the obvious question is, so tell me exactly which order that the commander-in-chief has given that you believe to be illegal. Because there's no court in America that has weighed in on such a ruling yet. There is no illegal order. And when you press them on it, it falls apart. Except Jake Tapper didn't even bother to ask the question.
Of course not. I would expect nothing different from the folks at CNN. But that's interesting, and I don't know where that's going to take him. What do you make? I talked with Charles Lipson about this a little earlier. On this whole Marjorie Taylor Greene Trump dust-up right now, what's your take on that, and where does that take us? And there's a little, you know, breakage going on the far MAGA side, and obviously you have Tom Massie, who's always creating trouble. But, you know, I do think that, I guess I have mixed feelings on this, Dwayne, because Marjorie Taylor Greene has said some really crazy stuff in the past. I've gone back and forth on, okay, you know what, she's serious about some issues, and then she's crazy on some issues. On this one, I don't think the president should have called her a traitor. You know, I will say that.
Well, my problem with Marjorie Taylor Greene is anybody that actually utters the phrase Jewish space lasers.
Well, that's a big part of it. Yes, I get that.
Okay,
so
you're a nut at that point, and you're kind of disqualified. You're about as disqualified as a dude running for Congress pretending to be a woman and saying, call me Sarah. You don't have a lot of credibility on issues with me at that point. So the thing about this squabble on the right is, and it ties into the video today, because, of course, what does Donald Trump do? He finally let them bait him, and he goes on Truth Social, and he says, this is sedition. They should be the penalty for this is death type of thing. And so, naturally, all the Democrats who accused Donald Trump after the J6 nonsense of being a traitor, of working with Vladimir Putin, all this kind of sedition stuff, they're now up in arms. And you'll notice what happened. The Epstein story had kind of started to blow up on him, right? It started to take out Democrats, and it hadn't touched Trump at all. And so what did the Democrats do today? As soon as Trump goes down the sedition road, they instantly grab the shiny new object and start attacking him on this. And the reason why that was so self-inflicted of Donald Trump to do today, and I'm a big admirer of the president, but tactically it was a dumb move to make. And the reason why is because also today, which is now going to be totally buried by this, J.D. Vance spoke at length with Matt Boyle over at Breitbart, and one of the things he said is, look, do we have squabbles on with sections of our side? Absolutely, referring to the aforementioned Marjorie Taylor Greene. But that said, we have a vast amount of difference with those on the left, with our enemies on the left, that killed my friend, that murdered my friend two months ago, and are doing everything they can to basically subvert the economy because they hate Donald Trump so much. He actually had a really good message to say, and it's going to get totally lost when that should be the message that should be repeated ad nauseum to the base. J.D. Vance talked about the affordability crisis. He talked about all the issues that we should be talking about. And now what we're doing, because Donald Trump took the bait this morning, is we're now talking about Sedition Gate.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. He gets distracted. And look, there's a couple of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks that I'm not particularly fond of. One of them happened the other day with Mary Bruce from ABC. And when you had, MBS in the room, which I still have some issues with that. I know you have to have relations with the Saudis. I don't like Mary Bruce. I'm not going to defend her. She's one of the most anti-Trump reporters out there. But it was not an illegitimate question to ask. And then the thing that I think when he crosses the line, it's one thing to rip on these reporters individually, but when he starts talking about taking a license from ABC, and this is the same feeling I had in the Jimmy Kimmel thing, that crosses a line for me, Duane. It really does. I don't want to hear that stuff.
Yeah, and again, we knew this going in. This was all part of the package with Trump. There was always going to be the rhetorical side of them that made a lot of people kind of cringe a little bit. It's still a matter to me of what the guy has accomplished as far as deeds and goals. He has done a ton on economic matters. He's brought $18 trillion of investment capital coming into the country, and we're already building stuff all over the place, and that's going to manifest itself through the country. He got the border under control. His foreign policy has been second to none over the last 100 years. There's been a lot of good things that he's done, and it was kind of baked into the cake going into this election cycle. Everybody knows that he's going to get himself spun up on Twitter and social media, and you wished he wouldn't. But we knew that compared to Kamala Harris being dumber than this desk going in as president, this was a much better option, and so they voted for Donald Trump. Now, is that going to hurt him long term? I have no idea. Will it hurt J.D. Vance if he ends up being the nominee? I have no idea. All I can say is, a lot of the Trump antics are built in and baked into the cake at this point.
Duane Patterson from HotAir.com. You had a post on Hot Air today that I think you're still writing because it's so long, about Michelle Obama. I just saw a clip.
It was a fun piece, though.
It was, but I just saw a clip on, I think it was on Fox here when I was welcoming you in, where she said, America ain't ready to elect a woman. And that's always, the sexism charge. I think they just don't understand that America's not going to elect a woman that they dislike, like Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris. If you put someone likable up there, I think America would elect a woman, right?
This is so rich coming from the couple, coming from Barack and Michelle Obama, who in 2008 in a political cycle where the Democrats were going to win no matter what. They were coming off of two terms of George W. Bush. Everybody was sick of the Iraq War and the War on Terror, and John McCain was the nominee. Any Democrat was going to win that year, right? I mean, that was the atmosphere that was going in. And so Hillary Clinton wanted to run for president, and she did that year, except an upstart one-term, first-term senator from Illinois named Barack Obama decided he wanted to be president and took the nomination from her. Michelle Obama hammered her along the way as saying Hillary Clinton is too establishment to be president during the 2008 cycle. So she actually worked against having that glass ceiling being broken. Flash forward to 2024. Joe Biden is now kicked to the curb by everybody in the party, right? Because he's old and feeble and he's introducing people to the furniture. So now you have to figure out, what do we do next now that we've kicked out Joe Biden? The Obamas, in the early days of that transition period, were actively working behind the scenes to deny Kamala Harris the chance at the nomination because they didn't think she could win. They wanted there to be a little mini Democratic primary, and Michelle Obama was right in the middle of that. So there's twice when Michelle Obama did her best, failed, but did her best to try to keep a woman from being in a position to break that glass ceiling. And now she's saying, you people don't deserve me. It's rich coming from her.
Is she, I should know this, is she pushing a book or is she just out there doing PR?
It's a book called The Look.
Okay.
And it's a glamour book, basically. And that's not even the high point of this book swing. One of the cuts that I ended with in this hot air column you were kind enough to mention was she said that her 8 years in the White House were constraining to her. She has three properties. Each house has about 8,000 square feet, eight bedrooms in each one, one in Chicago, one in Martha's Vineyard, one in D.C. They're building a whole massive complex in Hawaii that's been a decade in the making, and she's feeling constrained. I'm sorry. I don't think that resonates with people that are wrestling with the effects of the shutdown, wrestling with the cost of groceries, even if you're angry with the tariffs. You think that's going to resonate that Michelle Obama, you know, we just don't understand how constrained she was as first lady for 8 years.
That's unbelievable. But that what you just exposed there, that will never, and you know this, is never getting discussed in any of these wet, sloppy kiss interviews that she's doing with the media right now. Dwayne Patterson.
That's why you bring me on.
Yeah, write that column, or read that column, rather, at hotair.com. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'm off most of next week. We'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
All right, take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Man, thank you. So Dwayne very appropriately mentioned the situation on CNN with Jake Tapper and the member of Congress that, you know, was not pressed or asked a question about the particulars of the complaints that the Democrats have when they're telling people to not carry out military orders or anything else that comes from this particular White House. So Democrat from Colorado, Jason Crow, House member, was on with Martha McCallum. Sometimes I wonder why these Democrats do this to themselves. But here's Martha with Jason Crow.
And frankly, I bristle at the notion that they can't handle a suggestion or a reminder of what the law requires them to do and what the Constitution requires them to do. You actually disparage them when you say that a simple reminder is something they cannot handle.
You're wrong. You're 100% wrong. I didn't disparage them. them in
That's
any
what
way.
I'm
in
hearing.
Fact, I give them enormous credit.
I don't think they can handle reminders about their legal obligations.
I think they
These
perhaps
men and women
if it was
certainly
if
can
it was
handle
specific
it.
And they could figure out what order you're referring to, I have the most deep respect for everyone who serves in the military, including you, sir, for the sacrifice mm-hmm. that you made. I did not make that sacrifice myself. So I put everyone who makes that sacrifice in a very special place in my heart. And I believe they're there to serve the country.
But you are not answering the question, Congressman Crow. The question is, what orders are you talking about? Why can't you give us any examples?
So when you see this video all over the place, when you see this video on social media, I think a lot of people scratch their heads and they say, what exactly are they talking about? Are they talking about not allowing gunboats to make it to the United States carrying drugs? No. Is that what you're talking about?
Martha, here's a novel idea. How about we actually prevent things from happening before they become a problem?
I think that's what they're trying to do.
What you're saying is we have to wait until there's a problem to respond to that problem.
No, I'm not.
Okay, that is so ridiculous. And she straightens him out here. No, what we're saying is you're telling people proactively, you know, you're not just reminding them, you're telling them to disobey orders. What orders are you so worried about right now?
Right, as a military officer, what I think is important is we train people, we give them information, we prepare people for challenges coming down the pike. That is what I did as a commander in the military. That's what I'm doing now, as we are standing by our troops.
So she goes on to say, what specific order from the commander in chief are we talking about? No one can figure out what you're talking about, honestly. And Crow says, Martha, Donald Trump has made a series of alarming comments and suggestions that would violate U.S. law and put our military in a terrible position. But he still would not get specific. Then there's our friend Jasmine Crockett, who's from here, went to MICDS. She's down in Houston trying to fake people out. She still kind of ebbs and flows with that Southern accent. But she goes on the House floor and says things and makes accusations about Jeffrey Epstein and who's getting the money, not the money, who's getting mentioned in this report and who maybe are sexual predators.
Also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein, as I had my team dig in very quickly. Mitt Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio.
Here's the problem. All of those people did, in fact, get donations from a doctor named Jeffrey Epstein, but not the sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein. And even on CNN, they tried to make her understand that.
You mentioned Lee Zeldin there. He's now a cabinet secretary. He responded and said it was actually Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a doctor that doesn't have any relation to the convicted sex trafficker. Unfortunate for that doctor, but that is who donated to a prior campaign of his. Do you want to correct the record on the people that
listen,
you
Listen, I never said that it was that Jeffrey Epstein. Just so that people understand, when you make a donation, your picture is not there.
Okay, so this is her out. Her out is like, well, I didn't say it was that Jeffrey Epstein. You knew damn well what you were going to do. You knew exactly what you were doing. You did it. The name is out there. And I'm shocked, really shocked, actually, that Caitlin Collins pressed her on this a little bit.
And because they decided to spring this on us in real time, I wanted the Republicans to think about what could potentially happen, because I knew that they didn't even try to go through the FEC. So my team, what they did is they Googled. And that is specifically why I said a Jeffrey Epstein. Unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies.
Whoa. What, are you kidding me? What you did there was specifically a lie. And now you're trying to act like you weren't doing that. The difficulty here is, and I think Dwayne actually pointed this out in his column on Hot Air, it doesn't matter, because the only people pointing this out, people like me, conservative talk show hosts, again, a little shocked she got pressed on CNN, but no one will really care. She got the message out there. All these Democrats, they don't want to offer specifics, because, and maybe we have to give them a little credit for marketing. Maybe they're a little better than the Republicans at the marketing, because the message doesn't get pushback, right?
The same one, that's fine. But when Lee Zeldin had something to say, all he had to say was it was a Jeffrey Epstein. He admitted that he did receive donations from a Jeffrey Epstein, so at least I wasn't trying to mislead people. Now, have I dug in to find out who this doctor is? I have not. So I will trust and take what he says, is that it wasn't that Jeffrey Epstein, but I was not attempting to mislead anybody. I literally had maybe 20 minutes before I had to do that debate.
Of course you were trying to mislead people. And if, in fact, the excuse is you only had 20 minutes, well, then shame on you for not being responsible enough to make sure that it was the correct person. I mean, you could have inflicted a lot of damage onto this doctor, who probably, unfortunately, has had to change his name anyway.
Yeah, but people might see that and say, well, you're trying to make it sound like he took money from
a
registered sex offender.
No, but I literally did not know. When you search FEC files, and that's what I had my team to do, I text them and I said, listen, we're going up. They are saying that she took donations.
Right, but someone might say, well, your team should have done the homework to make sure it wasn't the convicted sex trafficker.
Within 20 minutes, you could not find that out, not from just doing a quick search on FEC. So, number one, I made sure that I was clear that it was a Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein, because I knew that we would need more time to really dig in.
Okay. That is so utterly ridiculous.
Wow.
And while I give Caitlin Collins a little credit, I guarantee you if that's J.D. Vance or a Republican member of the House that did exactly that and tried to use that excuse, they would not have let her off that easy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Did you hear Sue, the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway, give me a shout out for my bumper music that's no longer here?
I did hear that.
Yeah, she said she misses it. Well, I cheated a little here because I got a ticket giveaway, so. Out in the street. I love this song by Foreigner. I got tickets to give away for Foreigner and Leonard Skinner. It's going to be on a really super chilly night on August 6th at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, but I have a pair of tickets. If you're caller, I'm going to say caller number.
Don't be crazy.
I'm not. I'm going to say 7. But you know what's funny? Is they give me these scripts, right? And you know what it actually says on the script?
No.
It says call number 18.
What?
That's ridiculous. Okay, Ethan, call number 7 on the contest line, 241-9797. 241-9797. You're a winner. You're going to go see Leonard Skinner and Foreigner. I can't believe that they actually, that maybe that's just a suggestion. Call number 18.
That's funny.
No, we're going to do call number 7. Let's get an update on the trial of Sheriff Alfred Montgomery, which I'm very convinced is going to turn into like a Bravo episodic show at some point. Elliot Davis, retired Fox 2 investigative reporter, who's doing some great independent journalism on Facebook these days with tons of comments and followers. Elliot, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
How are you, sir?
We're doing good. We're doing good, but we're very fascinated by what's happening in this courtroom. So what's the latest?
Well, I'm right across from the courthouse. Day two of this trial just ended, maybe about 20 minutes ago. A lot has been going on. Today, they brought the woman who was transporting the sheriff's children back and forth to school. And that's one of the accusations by the attorney general, who says that's a misuse of tax dollars. They also got a Lee Stokes, who was a person involving the handcuffing of the acting jail superintendent because she wouldn't let the sheriff's deputies see a woman who said she was sexually assaulted by a sheriff's deputy. The sheriff ordered his deputies to handcuff her, but Lee Stokes was a major at the time and told the sheriff, don't do it. A bad idea. Sheriff didn't listen, apparently, and handcuffed her anyway, and so this is part of this whole deal. So they are going through systematically rolling out the case, rolling out all the accusations that they have against the sheriff, and the defense is countering. Basically, they deny any wrongdoing, and they said everything the sheriff did, he was justified in doing. High stakes in this. You know what? This is a tragedy. I'm going to say it. This is a tragedy because we remember when Sheriff Alfred Montgomery first came to office, And he came to off with a lot of fanfare. Remember, he had his vans out. He was picking up the homeless out of the bitter cold with his fans. And he was like being hailed as a official who was part of a new wave of officials to do things the right way. That's about a week after he'd gotten elected. That's how he came in to now being brought in the courtroom in handcuffs. And leg shackles.
What do you think
with two federal marshals?
Because, like, I tell this story, like, former Senator Nasheed Jamila, and I like her, and, you know, we're friends, not super close, but she called me when he got into the race because I think she had and played a role in his upbringing and said, hey, would you have Alford on? And I had him on, you know, because I wasn't crazy about maybe what was happening in the sheriff's office at the time. Seemed like he was someone, young guy, that had some ideas that wanted to do things differently. But he, I mean, the stuff, Elliot's not very defensible. I mean, I can't understand how a jury is going to come back here and say he didn't do all these things because there seems to be overwhelming evidence.
The judge is going to make the final decision.
Oh, it's not a jury trial.
That is not a blessing for the sheriff because this same judge, Stephen Omer, is the one who's temporarily stripped him of his office because he's in federal custody. The sheriff is in jail. He's in jail on the federal charges. So the sheriff is battling on two fronts, state charges, where the Catherine Hanaway's organization, Missouri Attorney General's office, mm-hmm. the state is trying to get the judge to throw him out of office. The feds are trying to send him to prison. So he's got two things going on here. Even if he wins the state, and it's going to be interesting, even if he wins the state case, right, it might mean he'll keep his salary, even though he'll be sitting in jail, because which would be kind of ironic, because they lost their appeal. They were trying to overturn the federal judges stripping his bond. He was on house arrest. So the sheriff will be in jail until he goes to trial, which could be a year. If he wins this case, I guess he gets back his sheriff title and he keeps his pay, even though he'd be in jail in federal custody.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of the amazing things in all this. So does John Hayden, who's the acting sheriff, does he stay as acting sheriff? So will we be paying for two sheriffs, an acting sheriff, and Montgomery? So high stakes for the sheriff. If he loses his pay, he's got two kids that he has to take care of. So not only is he sitting in jail, if he loses his case, he loses his paycheck too.
So, Elliot, were you in the courtroom? One of the things that I saw in the local paper is that, you know, he's facing some charges that are related to retaliation against people who cooperated with investigators. So they played, a phone call that was very profanity-laced in the courtroom today where he talked about firing people who testified against him. Were you there for that?
I did not hear that. I know all about that. I did not hear them specifically play that. And I was here all day. So I don't know if that happened today because I was here unless they snuck it in somehow. But I don't know.
Well, Post said the trial continued Thursday afternoon with the playing of an expletive-laced phone call. So I was just going on that.
So
I'm not sure.
They did not play that today. Maybe they'll play it tomorrow. I didn't hear that being played today.
What's the time? I mean, is this thing going to get wrapped up by the end of the week, by tomorrow? Is it going to go into next week?
It's going into next week. The judge already says it's going starting at 9 a.m. It is going all the way to roughly about 4:30. The judge tries to end it up. He says maybe a couple of days next week. That's when it'll wrap up. It's gone remarkably quickly, kind of wrap up this thing. But it has been obviously an amazing deal to see the sheriff fall from the heights he was at and get down to this point. And so right now they are going through step by step. Catherine Hanaway's operatives down here, they are going through each of the allegations, and I won't go through all of them, but they're going through each of the allegations and the sheriff. I got to tell you this, and I'm going to make this real quick, as quick as I can. The judge went off today, and I don't want to leave that out. He did. Rarely do you hear a judge just go completely off from the bench. And he was firing at the defense lawyer.
Yeah.
And he read the defense lawyer the Riot Act, because he accused the defense lawyer of trying to help himself, of defending himself against some accusations by the major who was on stand. He he blamed the lawyer for defending, trying to defend himself, as opposed to defending Alfred Montgomery. And so the judge just went completely off, and he was yelling at him, and it was certainly a high, it was one of the high points in the day. Rarely do you hear a judge let loose on a lawyer like
that. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, for people, and you've covered enough trials, sometimes trials can be a little boring, you know, in between some of the sexy testimony, because it's very procedural and you have to enter all this stuff into evidence. But you're right, you don't see a judge do that very often. Elliot, great work here. You're doing some awesome stuff on Facebook.
I like this judge, actually. He has he's kind of media friendly. Judge has a sense of humor, but he's also all business as well, keeping the lawyers moving this case along.
All right, keep us posted. Thanks for the update this afternoon.
Will do, buddy.
All right, take care. That's Elliot Davis, who again is doing some great, you know, local journalism on Facebook that is needed, because we don't have as much local journalism. By the way, so when I just saw this story, I didn't see it earlier. I go to, you know, STL Today several times in the course of the day. Sometimes I forget to kind of pop on there late in the show in case anything broke over in their newsroom. But this was something I didn't see earlier because I was looking for the update on the trial. Police and hospital officials are trying to find out how a man was able to bring a handgun into St. Louis University's emergency room, St. Louis University Hospital's emergency room, where he shot himself. So he was a patient in the ER. He pulls a gun from a bag. He's 32 years old. He shoots himself in the head in a hallway at 6:40 yesterday morning. And they said that he died right away. They didn't release any details. But SSM says all policies and procedures were followed, including scanning the man with a detection wand. Hospital officials wouldn't say if he was brought in there with an ambulance or was a walk-in patient. But they quote a nurse in here saying, look, they've gotten weapons through here undetected several times.
What?
It's not uncommon for us to find guns or knives on patients. For it to happen at all is an obvious failure of the detection system we have, I would say. They said that that's the first time. She says, this is the woman who was quoted, this nurse is Jessica Tulk. She says, the first time that she knows that anything happened in the ER since 2019. But that's pretty freaky. I mean, obviously it was a suicide, but you don't know what's going to happen. And you would think that they'd have better preventative measures there. So that's kind of freaky.
Wow, scary. That's really freaky.
I got a video from my son's girlfriend with Idris, the grandson. I may just take a minute to watch that. Do you mind filling here?
Oh, yeah. How long is it going to take you?
No,
by the way,
all right.
Idris, we do call him that instead of
Idris. Right, right.
He has a really cute new haircut.
Yeah, he does. So I put this up on, you can always follow Mark Talk on Instagram if you don't follow me on the Facebook. And I don't do a lot on Facebook, but when I post on Instagram stories, it goes to Facebook stories. And I did post a picture of him looking very suave and sophisticated, right?
Yeah, he looks good.
He went from the long kind of messy look to the very slick back pomade look.
And that's what I prefer.
Oh, yeah. It's looking pretty good.
On a one-year-old.
On a 15-month-old, for sure. So we'll be here tomorrow in the studio, Sue. As you know, we have a Reardon Roundtable in the 3 o'clock hour. Should be a lot of fun because we have a lot of stuff to talk about both locally and nationally. Jane Duker will be here. State Rep Steve Butts. James Knowles, the former mayor of Ferguson. Good group tomorrow in the studio to talk about a bunch of things. As we get into the 4 o'clock hour, of course, a Friday edition of Sue's News. We're going to talk about the Guns and Hoses event on Monday and promote our broadcast. We'll have Paul Hall on entertainment. You know, I mentioned this a couple of times today, and Fred's the one. You know, I think it's a competition I have with Fred. I was kind of pissed off that he was so far in to the documentary The American Revolution by Ken Burns, because he's watching it and keeping up to date every night.
Real time.
So I'm at the midway point of episode 3. And let's see, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So I think that was Tuesday's episode. So now I'm going to be behind 2 episodes, perhaps. But that's okay.
Fortunately.
Because the one I'm watching now is 2.5 hours. It looked like the next episode is 2. Look, they're not, and here's the other thing. With this in particular, and maybe this is true with a lot of things that you watch, if I get distracted for even 10 seconds, I have to go back and pause because I want to hear.
You want to absorb it all.
It's a little woke. I mean, look. American history, we have a lot of flaws, and you know they emphasize how violent this was. It was
violent.
It's
a war. I mean,
it's a war. We're blowing people's ships apart and heads off, and
it really
it is an incredible story. One of the questions that I have, and I'm going to ask this, you know, our friend Mark Sutherland, who plays like a official role with the British government here in St. Louis, and Mark's a great guy, and he's got a distillery and stuff like that. He's always kind of our go-to expert on all things England. But I really would genuinely like to know how people from the UK, if they would watch this, that whole period. Like my friend Simon Rose, who is an Englishman from Manchester, England. I used to work with him in Columbia, Missouri. He always called the 4th of July Good Riddance Day. And I kind of flipped that around because I think we could say Good Riddance Day for sure. But it is a fascinating documentary, and I would still, despite the wokeness, still recommend.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, admittedly, I probably overuse him because we're close. Scott Jennings on CNN last night. It's book release week, so I'm being a little bit more generous. But I did like this, you know, because they had, and I commented this the other day. I wasn't super crazy about the White House event with, you know, the Saudi crown prince because of Khashoggi, the journalist. I mean, look, they killed the dude, right? There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And Trump didn't react well to the question. But when it comes to human rights in the Middle East, I thought this was an interesting point that Mr. Jennings made on CNN last night to someone named Joshua Doss.
To me, this is when we look our weakest, when we buddy up with people who have had abhorrent records on human rights violations, particularly towards the women in their countries.
Landscape.
This is a criticism of Islamic governments, is it not?
It might be.
So who in the Middle East would you say is the most progressive on women's rights and other human rights?
That's so far from my point. I don't know how we...
You said we're buddying up with people who are bad to women. Who's good to women?
My point was always...
It's Israel. We can answer it. It's Israel.
That was so perfectly done by Scott. And that's what he's really good at. He can stick the knife in there. And let's think about it. These are the people... This is why... Look, and I can say I'm not crazy about MBS being in there, and I think there's some questions. But these are the people who love Hamas. Right. They cheer on terrorist organizations. I love the alphabet mafia being on the side of Hamas. They would cut their heads off, throw them off tall buildings if they knew that they were gay or lesbian or transgender. But they still support the terrorists. But Jennings got that guy pretty good right there. That's your audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.